Okay, greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. It's a little unusual for us, isn't it, to gather around Facebook and to be able to come together virtually out there in cyberspace somewhere. If you, hopefully you can hear okay, and if there's any problems, don't hesitate to say something in the comments, and we'll try to fix it. So I want to share today out of Mark chapter 4, and before we go into that, I'll just make one announcement, and it has to do with the offering. Mark had put an announcement on the Facebook page. If you want to, obviously, it still takes money to keep on living, takes money to keep the church running, and so I would encourage everyone to keep giving, even during a time of uncertainty and crisis. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. So I would encourage all of you to keep giving, and you can bring it here to church and put it in Mark's mailbox or send it to him via USPS. Okay, I want to talk to you today about Mark, the disciples on the sea with Jesus. And I wasn't sure what title to give this sermon, but maybe Christians in crisis or sleeping in crisis. And as you know the story, the crisis came on to the disciples there on the sea. Unexpected, totally, it seems like out of the blue, they were hit with this crisis situation. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping in the boat. And that to me is very remarkable. So I want to speak a little bit about the importance of Jesus being with us, and then a little bit about fear and faith, and then there was a great calm. The end of the story is always amazing with Jesus, isn't it? Even in during times of crisis, we can always look forward to the end of the story and being a great calm. I'll make a few random comments about where we're at today and what's going on in the world. I'm sure all of you know what's going on for the most part, but I believe there's an agenda that's behind what we're seeing on the surface. And I think that was the case with Jesus. Up a little bit. Oh, louder. Okay. Let me just pull this. Oh, you know what? I forgot to, no wonder, forgot to put my mic on. That should be better, hopefully. I forgot to pin on my lapel mic, so you guys can check it, see how it is. So today, the world is in a crisis, it seems like, and I believe that there's a spiritual agenda behind it. And so just a few comments regarding that. It seems to me that the battle between light and darkness is ramping up, and what we're seeing on the outside is the result of that. Because we know there's always been conflict between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and many of those conflicts have external results or physical manifestations. And I believe that the virus that we're seeing today, sickness, and all the things that are happening, the fear and the turmoil, is all a result of this conflict between light and darkness. And so that, as Christians, when we understand that, our calling is to fight in the spirit realm, pulling down strongholds and principalities and powers, and we do that by declaring the name of Jesus. We do that by praying and seeking God faithfully and earnestly. And when God's people pray, God moves on those prayers. So I believe it's obvious in the pro-life, the pro-choice movement, there's a lot of conflict happening there. That's a very spiritual battle with external consequences or physical consequences. You also see the battle amongst the nations, all the turmoil between the nations, and all the upheaval and the uproar in the world. All because there's a spiritual battle going on. And we as Christians can affect all of those things by the power that's within us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we should not fear. We should not be afraid. While it's easy to fear and become anxious during times like this, as Christians, we have no need to fear. We have absolutely no need to fear because we know the end of the story, don't we? It's also very obvious in Washington, D.C., I believe, attack after attack on the president that God has chosen to lead the country at this time. And the other thing that I find very fascinating is David's tent on the Washington, D.C. Mall. And it was very emotional for me this morning when I read this about David's tent. And I'll just read it to you. After 4.5 years of continuous musical praise and prayer at David's tent, the tent will go silent at 5 p.m. on April the 1st. And it all has to do with this COVID-19 virus that's going around, because they basically had to close the tent to the public. It's very difficult to keep the 24/7 music and worship going. So the writer on David's tent's website said, "As the David's tent song goes into the ground as a seed buried, may it sprout up in multitudes of homes across this land and around the world." And that's very moving to me to think about that, because I believe that God is actually using this time to bring more worship and more praise to Him from God's people, because it's always a time of crisis that brings us to our knees and brings us before the throne, whether in prayer or praise. And I think it's very powerful when God's people praise Him during a time of negativity, so to speak. There's nothing negative in the Christian's life. It's all positive because of what we know happens at the end. So our hope, he writes, is not in the tent, but the one that we honor. Our intercession rests on His. So just an encouragement to be diligent during this time, to pray and to seek God and to praise Him. And don't allow Satan to come into your life through fear and anxiety and shut the praise and worship down in our personal life. Okay, back to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4, in the last few verses, has the story of Jesus and the disciples on the sea. And just setting the stage a little bit, you know, I think the disciples, it was probably going pretty good for them. They were walking with Jesus. They were His disciples. Jesus was teaching them new things. They saw the exciting miracles, the healings, and all of the things that Jesus was doing. And at the end of a long day, the way it writes in Mark, it sounds like at the end of the day, they got into the boat and Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." And so use your imagination. It was probably maybe a clear, sunny evening. Sun was going down in the west. The water was smooth. And the disciples got in the boat with Jesus. And Jesus laid down in the back part of the boat and fell asleep on a pillow. And they started rowing. And so I don't know how long it took to cross the sea. But sometime after that, probably it was dark. And they were rowing along. And all of a sudden, this storm of wind just seemingly comes out of nowhere and starts blowing. And the waves came up, and they were fighting the waves and trying to keep the ship upright, and the water was coming into the boat, and they kept fighting. And, you know, as I put myself in that position, I don't know if you were ever out on the water at night, but I'll just say this for me. It's like pretty spooky to be out in the water during the night because everything's black. Can't see what's in the water. And that's even when the water isn't stormy, and the waves aren't there. But how would it be if you were in a small boat, huge waves, and the water was coming to the boat, the night was black and the wind was blowing? Would you be afraid? Would I be afraid? We all know the answer, don't we? We'd all be afraid, scared for our lives. And that was what the disciples were. They were afraid. They finally went back and woke Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" Or however they said it there. And so they were in a life-threatening crisis situation. But who was with them? Even though he was sleeping, it was Jesus. Jesus was with them. Even though he was quiet, he didn't say any words, they didn't hear him speak. He was back there sleeping in the back part of the boat and while they were fighting this crisis in their lives. And so they did the right thing. They went to Jesus and said, "Hey, we need help." And what did Jesus do? I can see him standing up on the boat, keep trying to keep his balance. "Be quiet," he said to the wind. He rebuked the wind. And what happened? Immediately, the wind died down and there was a great calm. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. Now, I personally believe, you may differ with this. A question. Is this the posture that Jesus wants us to take in time of crisis? Just laying down, going to sleep, resting in the Lord. We all know the answer, don't we? I often think of David when he wrote Psalm 23. He said, "In the presence of my enemies, in my time of crisis," we could say, what does God do? He prepares a picnic for us. He prepares a table for us. And we sit down at this table and eat our picnic lunch because God is with us. We have absolutely no reason to fear. So what is my response in a time of unexpected crisis that blows into my life? You know, that's what we're facing right now. We don't know where this is going to go, really. I don't think anybody really knows where it's going to go day by day. We don't know. Maybe our bank accounts are running low and our work, we can't work. And we start becoming worried and fearful. What's the right thing to do? We all know the answer, don't we? Go tap on Jesus' shoulder and say, "Hey, we need help. We need help here, Lord. Will the Lord help us?" Of course he will. I do believe that this story also has a deeper dimension. I think so. You may not agree with me, but I think that this storm was coming directly against Jesus and the disciples because the devil knew what was going to happen on the other side of this journey. There was a man over there that needed help. There was a man over there that was possessed with a legion of devils. And Jesus, the purpose for the trip was so that he could go over and deliver this man. And I think this storm was sent to stop this Jesus journey. Well, Jesus has authority over the devil's attacks. And he just rebuked the wind and they went on their way. And the man got amazing deliverance. And many times I think that as you look beyond the circumstance, I believe that this circumstance that we're facing today in 2020 with the COVID-19 virus is the same way. There is a great calm on the other side of this storm for God's people. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in the future. But God always, always, always in the lives of believers uses crisis times in that way. So when a crisis comes into our lives, we should look at it as an opportunity for God to reveal his power. And my first response is usually worry and anxiety. And what if, what if, what if? And probably this will happen, probably that will happen. But I want to learn to always look at every situation as an opportunity for God to come through and be glorified. Remember the response of the disciples? "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So they saw a side of Jesus that they never saw before because of this great crisis in their lives that they thought was going to take their physical life. And God came through and revealed a greater dimension of his power to the disciples. Rest assured, the disciples never forgot this story, I'm sure. They never forgot that amazing moment when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and they were quiet. So Mark 4, verse 35, I'd like to just read these few verses. "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." And I couldn't help but wonder what happened to these little ships. They were going along with the big ship, and this storm came, and all these little ships were also fighting the storm, no doubt. And when the great calm came, they were also had calm seas. And just while I think of it, I think that's who Christians are in the world today. Christians carry a sense of great calmness with them wherever they go. In time of crisis, that's one of the amazing things about Christians. And when people watch Christians go, during a time of crisis, they say, how can you respond that way? How can you have such peace in the middle of such difficulty? And so it brings calmness around them. Their circle of influence, their sphere of influence, has a calming effect on the people around them. In their communities, wherever Christians go, in their communities, across the nation, across the world, Christians have a stabilizing, calming effect on the circumstances of life. That is who real Christians are. You know, it takes more than just saying, I am a Christian. We have to have Jesus in the boat with us. Okay, let's continue on in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You really can't blame the disciples for being afraid, can you? Because the boat was filling up with water. There was this wind and waves. It's like, we're going down. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Awesome. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? I often wondered this in my mind to Jesus. I mean, what do you expect, Jesus? We're about ready to die. And you ask us, why are we so fearful? But it's justified because Jesus knew who he was. He knew he had the power of the wind and the sea. And when he looks at us in our little puny circumstances that we think are going to take us down and are going to destroy us, he says the same thing to us. Why are you so fearful? Because he knows. He knows there's a great calm on the other side of the crisis. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I always thought Jesus was kind of hard on his disciples, but I think it's justified, again, because of what I said. And they feared exceedingly and said to one to another, What manner of man is this? Or who is this man? Who is this man? That even the waves and the wind obey him. And when we think about it, God placed within each one of us as Christians, followers and disciples of Jesus, he placed a part of himself in us. And we carry that power with us also. When we come into crisis situations, there's power available for a great calm to come into our lives. So let's talk a little bit about Jesus being with us. The disciples were with Jesus, right? When the crisis hit them, they were with Jesus, or Jesus was with them. So this was very good for the disciples' sake. Otherwise, there's a good chance that they would have actually went down and drowned, but not when Jesus was with them. And Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the wave. They were also, so Jesus was with them. Remember that? They were also disciples of Jesus. They were not just Jesus, I love Jesus in word. They were actual disciples of Jesus that were with Jesus day by day. We're learning about Jesus. We're following Jesus. We're walking where he walked. They were helping him. They were serving him. They were doing the things that disciples do. They were being taught and taught about Jesus and about his ways and his principles. They had a close connection with Jesus. How is my connection with Jesus? Do I just call on him when I'm in trouble, or do I talk to him as a friend every morning when I get up, every day as I go about my duties and responsibilities? Do I live with a close connection with Jesus? You know, it's important that we don't wait till a time of crisis to establish a connection with Jesus. While many people establish a connection during that time, it's not a bad thing, but it's much better to establish a solid, meaningful, close connection with Jesus before a time of crisis hits. I think that's very important for us. That we're in the time of the year when we're planting seeds and we're planting the little plants. And I thought of the greenhouse example. So all of us, when we're born again, God puts us in his spiritual greenhouse. And we're watered, sunshine every day. There's not many storms. It's easy, pretty easy. But as we grow and develop, God plants us out in the garden where all of the storms that come will hit us. And so we can expect that as Christians. It's not always going to be easy. And as the storms come and hit us and test us, it's an opportunity for us to become even more secure and more solid in our relationship with him. That's why crisis comes into our lives. We would all take detours around crises, wouldn't we? But as Christians, we didn't know how many weeks ago that this crisis was going to hit us, where we can't go to church, we have to stay at home, and all can't go to school, all of the things that are very unusual and strange in our lives right now. We didn't know this was going to happen, and rightly so. And so God allowed this crisis to come into our lives to see who we really are. I think that's how we should look at it. So also it's important, we're talking about Jesus being with us, it's important to rest in the fact that God is with us, even when he is quiet and asleep, so to speak. As we mature as Christians, I think that God, in one sense, he becomes more quiet in our life. I want to be understood here, but he is not so, maybe it's not so easy to connect with him. Maybe there's more things that come into our life that drown out God's voice or who knows. But during those times, it's important for us to rest in the fact that God is with us, even when he's asleep in the boat. And I don't know if that's a good analogy or not. I like to think of it that way. God is watching us to see whether we will continue to exercise faith, even when he seemingly is quiet in our lives. Because it's a spiritual realm that we live in. It's not a physical realm. I know for myself, many times I would like to have physical manifestations of God's presence and his power. But we are called to walk by faith. And so there's a place where we have to choose to rest in him, even when it seems God is quiet and when he's asleep. The Almighty God is with us. The Almighty God is with us. So fear or faith? Let's talk about that a little bit. Question mark. Fear or faith? Question mark. What was the outstanding response from the disciples that Jesus highlighted? Wasn't it that, why don't you have any faith? That was kind of the outstanding response that Jesus highlighted when he was relating to his disciples there. So fear is generally driven by unbelief in the general sense. There's many things that cause fear and that want fear to cause fear to rise up in our lives, but it generally speaking, it's driven by unbelief. Fear is being overly focused on circumstances and what might happen. What might happen, right? When we're fearful, many times we think, this is probably going to happen, or this might happen, or we worry about what could happen. So that's fear. Fear drives us to fight with our own resources. Remember the disciples? And I would love a commentary from Jesus as to how the disciples would have responded when, let's say, he would have commended them for their amazing faith, because he did that numerous times. But here was an instance where he so almost rebuked them for their lack of faith. And so I'm not quite sure how the disciples were supposed to respond in a strong faith response. But what generally happens for us is we go to our resources first, don't we? So a crisis comes into our lives. What's your first stop? Is it Jesus or your resources? Fear is generally drives us to fight with our own resources instead of reaching out to Jesus. It is good to get into the faith habit of making Jesus your first stop when you enter a crisis situation. Before we do anything else, Fear is indicated by worry, stress. This, I am speaking to myself very much, and I'm assuming probably all of us are the same way, some of us more than others maybe. But fear is revealed by stress and worry, sleeplessness, fatigue, sickness, heart failure, lack of joy, overthinking. That's a good one for me. Tend to overthink situations. And being obsessed with hoarding resources, right? Toilet paper. That toilet paper craze was driven by fear. Rest assured. It wasn't driven by the confidence that God will provide for our needs. It was driven by fear. Toilet paper's running out. There's not going to be enough for everybody. And so we go hoard resources. That's one example. There's many other examples in our lives that we often do the same thing. So this is how fear reveals itself, and there's an abundant, many, many, many more ways that it can take place as well. Another big one is taking responsibility for things that are not meant for us to take responsibility for. This is a very good one for men and elders and fathers in the home. The walk the line where we cast all our cares on Jesus and yet carry out our responsibilities, of course, as he intended for us. But taking responsibility that is not ours to take is also an indication of fear. Faith is indicated by what? Great calmness, right? At the end of Jesus, the end result of Jesus' faith was this great calmness that came over the sea, and the wind stopped, and there was a great calmness. Does that describe me in time of crisis? Great calmness? Joyful in trials? You know, I probably wouldn't speak these things if it weren't for the Bible, but the Bible teaches us to be joyful in tribulation. Take joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Amongst many other verses that speak of this idea, this radical idea that Christians live out during their life of faith here on the planet. Joyful in tribulation, joyful in trial, trusting in time of chaos, a trusting mentality or approach to chaos. Courage in time of discouraging circumstances. We place our hand in the Father's hand and walk with him. We get in the boat with Jesus and go with him. You know, interesting thing there with the disciples. They were out in the middle of the sea, probably somewhere around there, and they couldn't get out of the boat, could they? They couldn't get away from Jesus. And they were with Jesus. And so when you get into the boat with Jesus, stay in the boat with Jesus. Don't jump out. Faith is indicated by refreshing ourselves in the promises of God. Isn't it a blessing if you think about your life and how much you lean on God's promises during a time of crisis? Most of us have been taught from our youth promise after promise after promise that God gave us in his word. And when we come into a time of crisis, we reach out for something. We reach out something to calm our situation. And many times the promises of God do that for us. So thank the Lord for his promises. Faith is indicated by being able to sleep or rest in the middle of a storm. It's a faith response. You see it in Jesus. Jesus was full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and he was sleeping during that time of crisis. How is faith increased? Well, you say, well, how can I increase my faith? Allow God to test it. Testing will increase our faith if we cooperate with God. Pray for increased faith. I think it was it the disciples or was it the man that came to Jesus that said, Lord, help my unbelief. I think that was one example. And maybe the disciples said one time to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. That's a good prayer to pray. And then choose to believe the promises of God. You can choose to believe or not believe God's promises. That's an ability that God has placed inside each of us. Okay, let's a few more thoughts concerning the great calm. And he arose. This was Jesus in the middle of the storm, rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. It is the supernatural presence of God that enables us to experience a great calm in the middle of a life-threatening storm. It's the supernatural presence of God. We don't have it within us. The disciples needed Jesus to calm that storm, didn't they? They had to have Jesus to calm the storm. So do we. We need the presence of God in our lives to calm this crisis situation. And He will do it for us. There was a great calm. Okay, so in order for Jesus to calm the storm, the wind has to first roar, right? Jesus can't calm the crisis if there is no crisis. You know, I think it's interesting to think about the fact that after this incident on the stormy sea, the disciples' faith was probably much greater than it was before. Remember what they said? Their response, who is this man? I mean, he can calm the storm. He can calm the wind and the sea. And so they had a much greater faith in Jesus that they would not have had if it hadn't been for the crisis. So the roaring wind has to come first. When Jesus speaks peace to it, our faith is strengthened. So our faith becomes stronger in time of crisis. There can also be various reasons for desperate situations in our lives. You know, that makes it look like everything was lost. The disciples, I don't have much doubt that they thought, hey, we are done here. The boat is going down and we're going to die. I think that's what they were thinking. It looked like everything was going to be lost. And there can be various reasons for that. You know, take it into your life situations and circumstance. You come into a situation where you think, it's all over. All the work, all the labor, all the ministry, all of the things that I did with my life looks like it's useless. Looks like it was no use. But Jesus stands up in your crisis and He speaks peace and He speaks calmness. If we are with Jesus, it will always be okay, won't it? Always. Doesn't matter what happens. Even if you die in this life, you're going to a better place. So Christians are always winners. Talking about a great calm. Our faith is revealed in time of testings. It's easy to say, I have faith in God when the sun is shining, the sea is calm, and everything's beautiful and going well, isn't it? But when the time of crisis comes, God wants to see where our faith is, and He also wants to use it as an opportunity to bring a great calm into our lives. So let faith rise up in us. May God pour out His Spirit upon His church, and let faith rise up in this time of crisis in 2020. Don't let fear rise up. Let faith rise up. Choose faith. Don't choose fear. After this storm that we're facing, there will be a great calm. It's always God's way. You can look forward. What is that song? There's peace on the other side of the storm. You know, a thunderstorm comes through. What happens often after that? Sun comes out. Everything is glistening with the washing of the water, the rain. And so it is in life. Storm comes through our lives. We look at the storm from this side, and it looks like a dark storm. It's really going to storm. And many times it does storm. But on the other side of the storm, there's a great calm. So let our faith rise up. Christians are like Jesus, talking about a great calm. They're like Jesus was to the fearful disciples, aren't they? When we go out into the world, we go meet people that are worried and fearful that don't know Jesus. We bring Jesus into their lives. We show them what Jesus can do in their circumstances. Christians are a stabilizing factor in their communities and nation in times of crisis. Today, right now, is a time for Christians to shine in time of crisis. So just be encouraged. Let your faith rise up. And I know that there's a continual battle in our humanity. When we look at a time of crisis, our humanness wants to say, we're going to die. But check in with Jesus during that time and ask Him what He's going to do about the situation. Don't focus on the storm so much, but focus on Jesus. So let each of us raise David's tent in our own hearts and lives, a place of continual praise and worship. And David's tent in Washington, D.C. was modeled after King David back in, I wanted to copy some of these verses down and I forgot it, but King David established after he brought the tabernacle back into Jerusalem, into the tent that he built for it, he established 24/7 praise and worship. And I think it went for 30 plus years, if I remember correctly. Day and night, continual praise and worship, playing instruments and singing in the temple. Who is the temple of the Lord today? Isn't it us? Don't remember Paul's words? Don't you know you're the temple of the Lord? Let that place be a 24/7 altar of praise and worship. And pray that God will be glorified. Pray for our president. Pray for our, I think every day we should pray for our president, that God would protect him and his family and his staff and his administration, and also that all this corruption would be exposed, and that truth and righteousness would be spoken, and that the fear of God would come upon our lawmakers and upon his church. Even more importantly, upon his church, I think, because God has chosen us to be the salt and the light of this world, and I think it's especially true during a time of crisis. So may we be encouraged and keep our focus on Jesus and stay in the boat with him, and everything will turn out okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to look at this story. Thank you for the faith that can rise up inside of us as we look at how you bring a great calm in times of crisis. And I pray for each one of us here and each of the listeners that your blessing would rest upon each of us as we go about our isolated homes and communities. I pray that we would raise David's tent, that there would be an altar of worship 24/7 in our hearts and lives. May you be glorified. May your kingdom come and your will be done here on the planet. We trust you for it. We know there's a great calm on the other side of the storm. Thank you for bringing hope and peace into our lives. I bless your name and pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.